It's that time of the week where we hear from the former Leeds United chairman, Ken Bates, and he joins me on the line now. How are you, KB?
Good afternoon, Sam. Very well.
Good, good.
I'm in London at the moment. I can't believe it. Absolutely howling wind and rain. Not the rain so much, more the wind.
Yeah.
Not used to it down in Monaco.
No, it's not too clever today in here in Leeds. But over the weekend, we had a good weekend. The weather stayed off for the most part, but it was the Tour de Yorkshire, the inaugural race following on from the success of the Grand Départ in 2014. And by all accounts, a fantastic weekend. Had the Red Yorkshire team were out and about all weekend, bringing the best coverage. And the Yorkshire people turned out again, over 1.2 million people on the streets across the weekend celebrating the race. An absolutely fantastic turnout.
Yeah, well, congratulations, first of all, to all Team Radio Yorkshire, because I've had lots of comments on the coverage from outside, and it was absolutely superb. And congratulations and well done to all round. I think a glass of champagne tonight would be in order to pat each other on your own backs, or each other's backs. No, well done. Just shows that we do have a professional team, and people are beginning to hear about it and appreciate it. So well done, everybody.
Thank you. And for the race itself, another...
Oh, there's one funny letter in the national paper today. It says the national paper does, you know, straight to the point things. One says, what's the trouble with people in Yorkshire? Why is it Tour de Yorkshire? Why isn't it Tour of Yorkshire? Can't they speak English up there? It did have a London address on the letter.
I'm sure it did. Gary Verity from Welcome to Yorkshire, another great event organised by him, and I've seen quotes from him already saying he's already planning for next year's second race, planning the routes, where he's going to go, and which part of Yorkshire he's going to be treated to this fantastic spectacle. Again, it just shows that the hard work that he puts into the event, that he's already straight away cracking on to next year in 2016.
Yes, well, I've known Gary Verity for many years now, of course, and he's always been very pro. Before he welcomed Yorkshire, he was running Yorkshire forward. But he has done a good job, and in promoting Yorkshire, I think they're outstanding. And he's to be congratulated as well. And if you think about it, it is important. It is done on a regular basis now, because it's good for customers, it's good for business, good for tourism. And once again, it puts Yorkshire on the map.
Very much so. In terms of the football... the season obviously ending on Saturday with a 0-0 draw for Leeds United against Rotherham. Off the pitch, we continue to discuss David Haig and any potential update there. But
well, David Haig, again, it's just an utter disgrace. And this is the one thing I must say, I'm disappointed with William Haig, who, as foreign minister, did absolutely nothing about this man who's rotting in jail. Next week, he'll be on the 18th, yes, had been 12 months since he was arrested under false pretences and thrown into jail. And as of last night, he had not been charged with anything. He has not been interrogated. He's not been interviewed. He's just sitting in jail, rotting. And David Hayes says that he doesn't blame the Dubai authorities. They behave very professionally. And, of course, he would have to say that, wouldn't he? But I can say I think they behaved disgracefully. How can you arrest a man, lock him up, on the basis of accusations which he's never brought? If GFH thinks he's guilty of fraud, then he should be investigated by the Dubai authorities and criminal proceedings taken against him. And GFH should be taking civil action against him, and neither have done anything. Meanwhile, he has his assets frozen, he has problems paying his legal team, which they're now threatening to walk away because of unpaid fees. It's an utter disgrace. And you must think about it when you see these Dubai business opportunities. Well, just ask yourself, do you really want to invest and go to a place which has basic human rights are so grossly and flagrantly ignored?
The end of the season was obviously the start of Massimo Cellino coming back into Leeds United, his ban expiring, and now back at the club. A board meeting was held. There's been no official statement from the club about that and what came out of it, but what we understand that Andrew Wumbers, the chairman during Massimo Cellino's suspension, is going to move back down to being a director, and the football club have applied to the Football League for Massimo Cellino to once again become a director of the football club, going through the honours and directors test. So Massimo Cellino back at the helm seemingly now at Leeds United, and as we've talked about many times, some big decisions need to be made.
Well, yes, because the club is drifting badly at the moment. I mean, there was some story about whether it's true or not that the club wasn't accepting credit cards for payments, and saying what all that was about. But there's nothing coming out of the club which would enable us to keep the fans informed, let them know what's going on. And then, of course, we've got two or three court cases still meandering on. These matters should be resolved, got put behind, fresh start, get the club going on a clean basis again. But after, what, 2.5 years of absolute turmoil, and Massimo's got a big job to start repairing the mess that GFH have left behind. Did leave behind to what was once a well-run club. But he's now got to face up to these things, make some decisions, and get things done. At the moment, we don't have got a manager. Don't know about the young players. Mr. Umbers did say in an interview that we got 4 young players or so are being sorted out. Well, good. I think the fans want to know that, particularly if they're buying their season tickets. So come on, Massimo. Been a few demonstrations against you. You've ignored those, quite rightly. But now is the time to set your stall out, get on rebuilding the club, and telling people what's going to happen, inspire their confidence in the club, where at the moment I'm still getting messages from all sorts of people. Not the staff, I hasten to add, because they're all under strict threats to what they would do if they talked to me, but from all kinds of fans from all over the country. And they genuinely want to support Massimo, but they can't support him until he takes them into his confidence and tells them what he's doing. So let's hope that from now on, we and the YEP and other other outlets of the media can keep the fans informed of what's happening. And we can do it via our website all over the world.
You mentioned some of the out-of-contract players there, and there are a few, and I think under the Football League rules, I think it's the third Saturday in May that the players must be told whether they're going to get a new contract or not. The likes of Stuart Taylor, Alex Cairns, Eddie White, Rodolphe Austin, Michael Tong, Calvin Phillips, the youngster, Lewis Walters, Zach Thompson, all out of contract this summer, as well as those loan players that the club have had, the likes of Sol Bamba, who've made a big impact on the team. So there really is quite a lot of work to do in such a short space of time.
Because it's middle of May, they'll have to report back for training in July. So we're only looking at 6 weeks. And it's important players are signed before they get back to training, because then they all meet together and then the new players start to learn how Leeds United train, what their fitness levels are supposed to be, all that kind of thing. You sign somebody a couple of days before the season starts, you miss out on all that. And of course the players are uncertain if they've got a job or not, then obviously they're going to start looking for alternatives. And the agents will be very pleased to because those parasites cop every time a player moves. And we don't want to finish up looking like Blackpool. If you remember beginning of this season, the season just ended, one pre-season friendly, they couldn't even put 17 players out because they hadn't signed any. Half of them were trialists. So come on, Massimo, get cracking.
And for Massimo as well, we mentioned before that the club have now applied to get him back on the board to be in to pass that test as an owner and director so he can be appointed. In terms of the Football League's role in this, and as we mentioned, you know, a lot of decisions needed at Leeds, it's vital that the Football League act as well. Chelino's tax conviction now spent under UK law
they have to act in fairness to the club. But as far as I can see, I haven't got the rules in front of me, but they suspended him. His suspension's ended. His alleged crime is now a spent conviction. So he should be allowed back. If you remember, when we went to administration in 2007, the league under Winnie was disgraceful. They actually gave us our league share back 5 days before the start of the season. It's hopeless. But fortunately, with one exception, I think, all the players remained loyal. Ali Royston worked day and night to register all the players physically, and went down to Cardiff and won 2-1, which was rather nice. So, but we don't want a repeat of that. We want nice, orderly. So far as I can see, when the Football League meet, they should be... well, they have met, haven't they? Because they've already said they're not going to bother to replay the abandoned Blackpool match. It's going to stand. So that they have met, and they should by now notify the Leeds United and notify Matthew to get on with it.
Fingers crossed that they get that news soon. In terms of the rest of football, we had some sad news at the weekend that the former Tottenham, Chelsea, West Ham and, of course, England striker Jimmy Greaves had suffered a severe stroke on Sunday. The news coming out is that he can make a full recovery. It's going to be a long road to get him back to full fitness. But yourself, a good friend of Jimmy.
Yes, I knew Jimmy. I appeared on TV shows with him a few times. He got a very dry sense of humour. He and Ian St John, remember the Saints and Greaves show? We used to be very good and very funny. Another story about Jimmy Greaves, he was a very young man, and he, at the time, it was a world record free, I think, for an English player. He went from Chelsea to an Italian club for £95,000, and a year later he was transferred to Tottenham for £110,000. And in those days, Chelsea would not sell Greaves to Spurs, so this is the way Spurs got around it. Chelsea allowed Greaves to leave, providing he went to Europe. So he went just for a year where they sort of, like, house-held him and house-nursed him and then transferred him on to Spurs. But he's a great player. And I can remember watching him playing Chelsea once against Burnley. This is when I lived in Lancashire, and Burnley were a great club, as they have been this season, of course. And there was only one team in it, Chelsea versus Burnley. Burnley versus Chelsea. And you could sense, though nothing was happening, you could sense gradually Burnley were getting on top. And they got a goal which they thoroughly deserved. And again, it was sort of one way. And Jimmy Greaves was standing with his hands in his pocket, I think, up in the halfway line. Ball came up to him. Three steps and a shot, 1-1. And, you know, 45 minutes hard work had been destroyed in a few seconds. And the second half was a repeat of the first. Only one team in it, Burnley, all over them. And about the 89th minute, they didn't actually use add extra time on in those days. Greaves, he was on the edge of the penalty area. Ball came to him. He was facing, but he's back to the goal. As it came to him, he pulled it down, swiveled and hit it in all in one movement. And Adam Blacklaw was clawing hopelessly at the ball as he went to the far corner of the net. And Jim was very laconic. Unfortunately, he went from Spurs to West Ham and he started hitting the bottle and had marital difficulties. But fortunately, he beat alcoholism. He was an alcoholic and he beat it and got to get back together with his wife and sort of very happily together. But I can remember one particular thing. I was having one of my court cases. And the subject came up, and they just, on the other side, had just taken on George Carman, QC, to represent them. And Jimmy Greaves was ragging me a bit, said, "Come on, Ken, you're not going to win this one. They're just taking George Carman. But he's so good, he could get Ray Charles up, driving licence, which you all laughed. And, you know, they paid money into your bank. They paid money into court and left it to the very last minute and took it out, by which time the other side had put quite a big cost. So that, anyway, I'm rambling. Jimmy, I hope he's 13 years younger, he's 70, then younger than me. He's got a long way to go. I wish him well, because he rebuilt his life after being an alcoholic and having no money. And he deserves every support he can get. And good luck to him.
Fingers crossed Jimmy Greaves can make a full recovery. If we talk about the Monaco Grand Prix competition that Radio Yorkshire has been running for the last 6 weeks or so, another successful competition, and the winner was drawn this morning. Dean Daniels will be enjoying grandstand K views from the tunnel exit to the chicane piscine for that weekend in Monaco, the 23rd of May. Absolutely fantastic prize.
The first one is, I think, the time trials, and the second one, of course, is the real Horde of Combat. And, you know, you tell me he's a guy from Liverpool and he enjoys it. Great. I wish him well. I can tell him plans and work is well advanced. His seats have now been installed in the main stand at the port. They've resurfaced the whole of the streets of Monaco. And they do it. They've done it at night. You just wake up, and all the bits next morning, all the bits done. In fact, I've got a suggestion to Mr. Verity. Why don't you try and get the Grand Prix in Leeds, and then maybe we get all the potholes resurfaced get the town in good shape. But getting back to the winner, congratulations. Have a great time. You'll thoroughly enjoy it. And if you like the Irish pub, there's a great one on Rue de Portier.
So that's Dean Daniels, the winner of the Monaco competition. Let's see how it sounded when Darren Harper on Good Morning Yorkshire this morning drew the winner and called Dean up. Here's what happened.
Three winners have been selected, and they're on the lines right now. Line one, line two and line three. And we are going to be rolling the Radio Yorkshire supercomputer dice. And it's selected line number one. Dean, are you there?
Hi.
Good morning, Dean. How are you?
Oh, absolutely still, thank you.
You are off, and you're going to be watching the Monaco Grand Prix in Monaco. How cool is that?
Fantastic. That's absolutely brilliant, thank you.
No problem at all. Are you a big Grand Prix fan?
I am indeed, yes. It's been absolutely dream. Well, it's been a dream just to go to Monaco to see the Grand Prix, so...
There we go, that's Dean Daniels this morning. A very happy winner, KB, of the Monaco competition. And as you said, a dream to head over to watch the Grand Prix in the Principality.
Yep, he'll have a great time, and good luck to him. And commiserations for all the unsuccessful ones, but thank you for competing. And remember, there's always next year.
Indeed, always next year. But not always next year in terms of the general election. We're on the eve of the big vote, which is going to decide the UK's fortunes for the next few years. In terms of this election campaign as a whole, what have you made of it? Where does it stand in terms of previous elections?
Well, at my age, obviously, I've been thinking about it. I've probably witnessed, canvassed, voted, helped in about 20 elections. And I must say, this one has been the worst ever. It is absolutely appalling. It's very negative. It's very personal. It's spiteful, it's vicious, and they've avoided all the main subjects. And what's worrying is that it's not just that it looks as if we're going to get a hung parliament, but look at I'm a logical person, accountant by trade, look at the figures behind the numbers, if you know what I mean. Think hard about what people have promised you. Where is the money coming from? I mean, Cameron's talking about 20 hours a week free child service or something. Well, where's that coming from? Where are the people coming from? The Labour Party are about employing another 20,000 nurses and 8,000 doctors. Well, where are they coming from? Are they going to be overseas? Are they going to speak English? How do you know they've got proper qualifications? How are they going to fit in? How long does it take to recruit them before they're let loose on the ward or in the hospital? I don't know what the Liberal Dems stand for. So I can remember that famous remark of Clegg about 3 months before the election when he said he didn't care who won as long as he was Deputy Prime Minister until 2020. I thought it was a terrible thing to say. So all I would say is, I'm repeating myself, I know, but think very carefully about the promises that all the parties have made and ask yourself, how are they going to fulfil them? So think carefully. Don't be swayed by emotion. Try and be logical.
Well, be
a happy note or serious note or cautionary note. I'll bid you a good day.